As New Orleans descended into chaos last week, the police department bore some of the heaviest burden, caught between floodwaters and angry armed citizens, unable to find out what was happening to their homes and loved ones. Hundreds are reported to have left their posts, and two committed suicide, including the department's chief spokesman, whose funeral is planned for tomorrow. To tell us more about the toll on the first responders, we're joined now by Keith O'Brien, a reporter for the Boston Globe. He's been traveling with the police to survey damage in the city. Thanks so much for being with us, Keith.
Thank you, Lynn.
Keith, give us a sense of what it is like out there for the police officers of New Orleans. Just, this has been such a horrific scene to watch. I can't even begin to imagine to what it's been like for them to be, as we said, the first responders, the first people on the scene.
It's hard to put the last week in words, what they've been going through. As Chief Eddie Compass said yesterday, they've been going without food, without water. They had to siphon gas out of vehicles. They had to steal vehicles procure vehicles because a lot of their vehicles were underwater. In the meantime, the great many of them didn't know where their families were, if they'd gotten out, if their homes were flooded, if everything they owned was ruined. And so as the cities started to gain a semblance of control, they're starting to wade back into their homes and see what there is to see.
Now, I understand that some of the police officers haven't even been able to wear their uniforms because they just haven't been able to, at some point, weren't able to wash, weren't able to bathe, weren't able to even put clean clothes on.
That's true. When I first arrived last week, many of the police officers I met were not in uniform. It was initially hard to tell if the person standing on a corner was a police officer or not because they were just wearing a T-shirt and a baseball cap. But they did have their badges, they are starting to gain a little bit of control of their own lives. I know some of them have been able to find cold showers, not hot showers, and they do have a bed from time to time. The police has set up a headquarters at the Omni Hotel in the French Quarter, and many of them do sleep there. Although one police officer who was on the night shift yesterday told me that when he got off at 7, 8 a.m. after manning his post in the French Quarter all night, he couldn't sleep because the helicopters, the Black Hawk helicopters and the Chinook helicopters that are circling the city, putting out fires and rescuing people are quite loud at times, and he didn't sleep at all, and then he went back on his night shift.
Keith O'Brien is a reporter for the Boston Globe, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. If you have any questions for Mr. O'Brien or comments about the first responders, those who are on the front lines of the catastrophe in the Hurricane Katrina region, particularly in New Orleans, give us a call, the number 1-800-989-8255. Now, Keith, you attended a briefing by the New Orleans police chief yesterday. What was that about?
Well, it wasn't announced. There is a headquarters in Baton Rouge where officials speak on a regular basis, but Chief Eddie Compass showed up in the late afternoon, and it created quite a buzz. He has not been there. He has been here in New Orleans this entire time, and when he showed up, it was quite a statement he had to make. He was very angry about the reports that his police officers had abandoned the city, although it's clear that some of them did. And he was upset that his city and his force was being portrayed as one that could not control what was happening. I think what came out of it was that he's quite proud, anyway, of what they've done here, and quite proud of the mayor of New Orleans and what they were able to do here despite the national reports of violence, which still do continue in pockets of the city.
All right, let's take a call now. We have Tom. He's calling from Rochester, New York. Hi, Tom.
Hello. This is my first time calling, but I'm sitting here in Rochester wondering what else can we do as first responders. I went to give blood the other day. I had this wild notion that perhaps one person from each department that was large enough could come down and assist in some way, and I just... should we call the Louisiana State Police, or is there someone else that we can call, or what can we do?
That's a good question. There are a great number of people here in town from police forces, fire departments, and other state agencies from states all around the country. I know some of them have been a little bit frustrated about how they've been deployed or how quickly they've been deployed, but they're doing the best they can. I think for people who want to try to come down here and help, I would first contact Operation Control in Baton Rouge, at the Department of Homeland Security, and find out what they need. I think what I'm seeing now is a city that's gaining a little bit more control. Fewer people are being rescued because there are fewer to rescue. And you're starting to really now notice the damage to the city. And one question I have is how they're going to clean up. I mean, just how they're going to clean up streets, which are littered for tens of miles with everything from dead bodies to shoes to you know, burned out cars. And so I think the city's going to need a lot of help in the months ahead.
All right. Thanks for your call, Tom.
Thank you.
Is the situation changing for the police force as troops move in? And does that change the role of police?
Has it changed the role now that others are here?
Yes. As you have the military moving in and more troops coming into the city, how is that changing what the police have to do?
Well, I think the military presence has certainly helped the police. But the New Orleans police officers are still out there in the streets day and night. They are still the ones who are going out on the boats and skiffs trying to rescue people in still flooded parts of the city. Agents come in from out of town, and they've got a boat. They're usually not willing to go out without an armed police officer, and that police officer is a New Orleans police officer. So the military presence has helped immensely. I think most of them here, police officers and residents, wonder why it took so long, though.
Yeah, and we heard also that two members of the force committed suicide, and that others have just simply left the force. Have they turned a corner? Is morale any better now?
I think morale is better, although I never really saw a total collapse of morale from the time I got here on Thursday. I've seen a lot of hugging. I've seen a lot of kissing between officers, you know, kiss on the cheek. You know, they say to each other, you know, hey, baby, how you doing? You know, how you making out? Hey, darling. You know, the...
So the morale is picking up. We're going to have to leave now. Thanks so much for joining us, Keith. The show is coming to its close. Keith O'Brien is a reporter for the Boston Globe, and he joined us by phone from New Orleans. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.